shit show. It's a fucking shit show.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have Shit Show Jill or Jill.
Jill, whatever.
You ready for this?
I think so.
Okay. Well, it's too late.
Yep. Right. Too late. I already agreed.
Song.
My song, I went back and forth with this because I really like Whitney Houston, and I was going to choose How Will I Know, because that's literally how I feel about my whole life. Like, how will I know how to do any of this? But honestly, there's a song that I don't think ever really got released. It's called Miracle. And if I'm honest, it was the words to that song are the conversation that I had with myself, my inner child, and my higher power the night that I reached my bottom. And I was literally called back from the brink of ending everything. And the words to that song were just like, wow, that's the conversation that I had. And I was physically being stopped from doing anything. I had a plan. I was going to do it, but I was being called back, and I was told, you know, I have choices, you know, and I think the next day is when I joined the Patreon and sent you that email. I don't remember what I said in that email, but I remember I sent you an email. And yeah, just Miracle from Whitney Houston.
Well, we'll circle back to that really highlight of your life there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Carbohydrate.
Again, I'm going to explain everything. Sorry. I have celiac disease, so I don't really have too many choices on carbs.
That's the only way that you're allowed to not eat carbs in this community is if you have celiac. So when did you get diagnosed with it?
2009, I think.
Okay.
I would say what used to be my favorite was like good warm Italian bread dipped in olive oil and salt and pepper. Oh, so good. But now I would have to call it mashed potatoes with an unhealthy amount of butter and salt.
Nice. I love a Philly soft pretzel.
Oh, yes. I miss those. I've tried to have gluten-free ones and they're not even worth the buck. No.
Okay. Cheese. Now you're going to tell me you're also lactose intolerant?
No. Okay. No. No, I can eat cheese, and I like a real, like, burrata and like mozzarella with what's the meat that I eat with that?
Salami, prosciutto.
Prosciutto, thank you. Yes,
it's so good. And condiment,
hot sauce.
What brand?
Hank's, actually. Hank's is a place in Sea Isle City.
They have really?
A little restaurant, and yeah, it's good. Huh. They have all kinds of flavors. I just have the
reg.
I can't go too hot, but I like a little spice.
So let's circle back. Well, first, before that moment, when do you think was the realization that you were an adult child? Did that happen much prior to the moment that you were just explaining?
Yes. Yes. This is all about probably a year ago. I mean, my husband and I have always had issues, and really, you know, he would always say he couldn't connect to me and all of that. And we've seen lots of therapists. But we hooked up with this other person last year, and I thought she was a therapist, but it turns out she was just an intimacy coach. And that was my fault. You know, I'm not blaming anybody, but I thought it was a therapist. So I was being very honest with her about my childhood and the things that I struggled with. And then one day she just said in a group session, or session with him and I together, that I am too attached to my trauma. And I felt awful. I was like, well, what do I do about it? And I just felt so hopeless. And I went into this shame spiral that had to last weeks. I didn't know what to do with myself. I just felt like the whole weight of my marriage in chaos was my fault. And I was really struggling. And, you know, that's why I started to plan. I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't know what to do. And I don't want to be here anymore. And I I have a therapist, my own therapist, and she had once sent me a podcast of something else. And you were recommended. And I was like, oh, adult child. That's an interesting, I'd never heard of that before. And then I started looking through the episodes. And when you said, you know, the first one with about the Bryans, I was like, well, I don't like Bryans either. I have my own Bryan story. So I was like, let me listen to it. So I started listening to it. And I was like, okay, I'm an adult child. I get it. Was still hopeless and trying to find help, you know, and all that stuff. And just couldn't fight this shame. I was getting, you know, ideas from my therapist and the people you had on and that kind of stuff. But it just wasn't, I couldn't get out of that shame spiral. I couldn't stop hearing her say, you're too attached to your trauma. And I was just like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix it. So, but, you know, I just got really upset and it was bad. But like I said, I had a plan and I was at my bottom. I was going to leave this earth. And I don't know, something, my leg stopped working. I was walking into my bathroom and my leg stopped working. And I just sat on the floor. And, oh, gosh, the tears, the agony, the years of pain coming out. And I couldn't make it into the bathroom, even though I was sitting on my butt and I was like trying to pull myself in because I was like, I want to do this. I don't want to be here anymore. And just all of a sudden, seriously, this higher power voice just was like, yeah, we're not going to do this. And then that my inner child came in and I was like, I can't do this to her. You know, she got me here. Just ended on her like that. I can't do that. And I have lost all suicidal ideation since that night, which is good.
Man, being a mom and getting to that point, you know, like shit, it's gotta be dark.
Oh, I thought everybody was going to be better off without me. Like, you know, my kids have their own anxiety and that kind of stuff. And I just looked at my family. I'm like, look what I've done. I've done all of this. This is my fault. And I don't believe it anymore, but I did that night for sure.
When was that?
It was around the holidays, which I always struggle with holidays anyway. So I think it was just all a big bundle of crap.
Uh-huh. Wow.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How long had you been in therapy, like with your own personal therapist?
My own therapist? I asked her the other day, since 2015.
Were you aware that you had trauma?
Oh yeah. And that's the problem. I was working on all the wrong things. I was looking at, let's just say it. I have sexual trauma and, I was thinking it was all of that. Like you can't connect your husband because, you know, they have a hard time being touched and all of
that. Was that like later in life?
Yeah. Well, yes, it was right after the Bryan. I was with this guy for a long time and he was actually with me when my mom died when I was 17 and found out shortly after that he was cheating on me. So I was like, we recently figured out that those two traumas were like just kind of attached. I couldn't heal from one because they would both come together. And I had this session with, well, I think I talked about it in group the other day, because she was trying to get me to separate him out of the night my mom died because he was there. And I just kept saying, I don't want to remember him. I don't want him there. And she was like, okay, let's do a visual. And we just sort of got him out of there. And ever since then, it feels different. It feels very different. But after trying to heal from my mom, trying to deal with the being cheated on, the first guy I dated after that raped me. It was a date rape, and I didn't even know what date rape was. I didn't know that was a thing. So I just sort of kind of, I didn't blame myself, but I didn't see it as a crime. I didn't see it as a, you know, he was just a big dumb jerk. I decided after a while, I'm like, something's going on there. And then I heard the word date rape for the first time, and I was like, that's my problem. And that's the kind of stuff I was working on in therapy, thinking those were my problems. I mean, I knew I had issues, you know, with my mom dying. I had my brother die when I was four, when that's one of my first memories of my brother dying. So I knew there was shit in there, but to see it as just my entire childhood and how I ended up where I did, it took me a long time to understand that.
Well, shit. I mean, your brother dying at four, that's hugely traumatic.
Yeah.
So talk about your childhood.
Well, yeah, my brother, one of the first memories is of him dying. He was 10 months old.
Oh,
he was going to die, and he was sick. He had hydrocephalus, and he was brain damaged. But I didn't know that.
Were you the oldest?
No, I have an older sister. She's 2 years older than me. And she said she knew and she understood what was going on, but I didn't. So I don't know if I was too young to remember them telling me, or they just thought I was too young and it wouldn't matter. And so just one day he was just gone, and I found him. And I just remember looking at him and thinking, that doesn't look right. His eyes were weird.
Oh my goodness.
I went and told my mom, hey, Joel doesn't look right. And the memory just stops right there. I remember her running by me and making this noise that will live with me forever, but that was it. Stop there. And then just trying to have someone explain to me what happened. Like my parents, my mom just was so depressed after that, obviously. And my dad, who was already, you know, he was rough, but, he got worse. He got violent. And asking about my brother, where is he? What happened? Would make them angry, and they didn't want to talk about it. And eventually they were religious. So they started bringing in talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Is he that guy that we see in church hanging up there? Like, is he real? Like, I don't know. What do you mean, talk to Jesus? And I was like, I would question it. And because I was questioning it, God forbid, you know, then I would get in trouble for being God's going to hate you for not believing and not turning to him for, you know, you. And then I just became this bad kid because I bothered my parents and God probably hated me. You know, I just took on this, I don't know what you call that. I didn't like myself by the time I was 4 years old because of all the messages I was getting. And because we didn't talk about my brother anymore, just being four and not understanding any of it, I just sort of said to myself, well, I guess some people don't matter because we never talked about him again. And I just thought, well, I must be one of those people that don't matter. And just waited, you know, I was like, okay, so now I'm going to die soon. And I've just been in this constant state of waiting to die. It's awful. It was just, I think it was just the perfect storm of, like, nobody did it on purpose, but it went really bad.
Deep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, did you start to act out, or how were you, like, in school?
I had ADHD. Nobody knew that at the time.
Yeah.
Was it trauma? Was it ADHD? Who knows? It's one of those things. But that's my diagnosis now, that I have ADHD. But no, once I started to take in that I'm a bad kid, and I knew that if I did anything, I would just, you know, who knew how mad my dad was going to get or what he would do. He's put marks on me and used belts and that kind of stuff. So I just sort of, like, I really just disconnected from just about everything. I think, for a long time. And it, seriously, I have to say, if it weren't for the girl who's still my best friend, came up to me in sixth grade, because our sisters knew each other, and she was like, oh, hey, my sister's name's Andrea, by the way. And she just came up to me and she said, are you Andrea's sister? And I was like, yeah. And then we've been best friends ever since. And if it weren't for her and her family, I don't know if I would have ever known how families actually were supposed to act. Because we just ignored each other. There was no connection whatsoever.
What was your sister's experience growing up compared to yours?
She was in her room a lot. She read a lot. I grew up thinking she didn't like me very much because we didn't hang out together at all. And when she would talk to me, I'd be like, oh, you're talking to me. And I do have a living brother. The brother that died was the youngest. And I do have another brother. And he and I would play, you know, as kids. And we had fun, but I don't know. It was just, we had to play with somebody. So that's what we did. But we had fun. And I'm glad he was there to help me get through some stuff too. So
how did your mom pass away?
She had brain cancer. She had tumor. Mm.
When was she died? Like how long before?
I was 15 when she was diagnosed. She had an operation and she actually started to come back and got some of her life back. Mm. And I was like, oh yeah, mom's coming back. And she actually started to seem different to me. You know, she wasn't this sad lady anymore. I got some moments with her back. Mm. But it was never, she was never going to survive it. They just gave her a few good years and, I'm glad I got to have those few more moments with her that I didn't have as a kid because I really just wanted her to smile again, but she didn't. Yeah. It was tough.
How did your dad handle her dying?
That was so strange to me. He broke apart. Mm. I was like, I didn't think you liked mom that much. I really didn't. They didn't. No. And I didn't see any affection with them. They used to fight a lot. I know he was violent with her. She had a broken collarbone once. But when she died, it was just like, what is happening now? So now I gotta take care of you. And he broke apart. And I was like, I didn't grieve because now I was taking care of everybody. Mm-hmm. Because that was kind of expected. Because my sister was off of college. So I was the only female left. So you take care of everything. And he lost it. He became very unstable. And I felt like I had a huge responsibility to keep the house going and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
So what is it that led you into therapy with your current therapist?
That's when she asked me what I was doing there. I said, I don't know how to connect to people. I knew that much, that I didn't, something was missing. And most of my life was spent just going through the motions. But I knew there was something deeper. I knew there had to be. Like nobody would stay in this world if it was just walking around running into people, you know. So I just knew there was something missing and I just didn't know how to connect. And I didn't know how to take like the bad thing, like something bad would happen. It would just destroy me. You know, it was like, okay, it's, you know, and I would find out that the person I'm destroyed and the person who it was in it with me, like my husband, is thinking it's not that bad. Mm. Like, why do I feel like I'm dying and you're okay? What the hell's going on here?
No. What about with your kids? Like, did you feel like you couldn't connect with them either?
As they got older, yes. Mm-hmm. When they were little, I was super mom. I knew exactly, like, I loved being, when they were babies, I knew what to do. I didn't get stressed if they were crying. I was just like, yeah, we'll figure it out. You know, it's okay. And I loved holding them and being with them and kissing them. And I just felt like everything I did then was right. But as they got older and, you know, a kiss on the head didn't fix everything, or me just snuggling with them didn't fix everything. And I was like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. I don't know how to be a mom anymore. And they did. they have problems. They have anxiety. They see a therapist. And my youngest daughter actually had some time. She was with suicidal ideation. Mm. And she was pulled out of school a couple times to deal with that kind of stuff. And, you know, I fully blamed myself for that for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And, but she's still better now. And I don't take full blame for it anymore. I'm only 50% of how she got here. So.
Yeah. And 50% of you wasn't your fault either. You know, it's part of your experience. Right. Right. As well. Exactly. So what have, since like really diving into this work and having the realization that you're an adult child, what have conversations sounded like with both your husband and your kids? Do they understand?
No, my husband is still very, he's very like, oh, you just don't think about it. You just ignore it. And you just be happy. He's still very much like that. But I've put him through a lot. So, you know, maybe he's just like begging me, can you just please let some of this stuff go? With my kids, they understand. They know I've had some shit. They don't know everything, but I'm sure there's other conversations we could still be having. But I feel like with my girls, at least, I'm able to be myself, even when I don't feel like I'm my best. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel like I have to hide from them. Mm-hmm. Whereas other people, like my husband, I still feel like I need to hide a little bit. Just like, I don't want him to tell me to just be happy, because that's not possible right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How has your relationship with yourself shifted as far as like from a compassion standpoint? Like, do you feel like you are able to, you know, show yourself a little bit more love now that you have an understanding of more of why you are the way that you are?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I actually feel like that little space in me where she lives, there's love there. Like, whereas before it was confusion and fear. And there's also this need to protect, like, I don't want her to hurt anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's love in there. And I feel different on the inside than I did before. I still know there's stuff that's going to come that's going to be hard, but I don't go into that spiral anymore. That like, oh God, I can't get myself out of here. What if somebody walks away from me? Yeah, well, if they walk away, I'm not a little kid anymore. I'm not going to just be standing there by myself. I can do something for myself. So yeah, it's better.
Has there been like a pivotal moment where you feel like you've really been able to see your growth?
Yeah, actually, in my local ACA meetings, like I'm talking more, I'm engaging with them.
Are there some good meetings?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's a really, really great group of people. And awesome. I, you know, just this week I got put on their group chat and I'm like, oh, I have made it. So yeah, there was one guy that I think saw me, maybe wanting to speak up more than I was. And he reached out to me and so I appreciate him very much. And he was like, hey, you know, I'm really proud of your share this evening, you know, and all that stuff. And then more and more people would say that. It's really good to hear you speak, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like, oh, people want to hear me. Oh, my gosh. They do. And they understand. I mean, there's nothing like blurting out shit that's been sitting on your soul for so long. And then you look up and you see these faces looking back on, yeah, I get that. It's amazing.
With your therapist, do you feel like, I mean, was she not seeing that what the issue was deeper, or she didn't think you were ready to go there?
I'm not sure. I would have to talk to her about it. But since, I don't know if she, like, I made this realization myself. I remember being the one that's saying, I have to start going to these meetings. I'm doing it. There's a piece missing is what I was saying. And she agreed and has said that she has seen, she even asked me once, I think she asked me if I was high or something once. I can't remember. She asked me something and I'm like, what? And she's like, you're just very different right now. I have to ask you if you're
bye.
She say hi. I can't remember. I'm like, no, I'm fine. It's just, I just was appearing that much different to her. And I'm like, oh, wow, I guess this is progress.
Have you talked with your brother or your sister about this adult child stuff at all?
No, we're, I would say we're no contact, but my brother, I feel he sees the childhood very different. He's protective of my father, and I don't know that he would want to talk
about it. Your dad's still alive?
No, both my parents are gone. But yeah, I haven't been brave enough to say anything to him. And my sister, she's hard to find. They live in North Carolina. She's married. They live in North Carolina, but they have a house in St. Thomas, I think. And I think she just lives there, and I can't ever get a hold of her. So,
that sounds nice.
Yeah. They retired and they're like, see ya.
Have you had many repressed memories come up?
Yeah, there's just the things that my father would do, mm-hmm. like that were just, that really are why I don't trust, because mm-hmm. he could seem like he was okay. Mm-hmm. And he would just be having a conversation with him. And then all of a sudden he was like hitting you. And you're like, mm-hmm. I don't know why. I don't know what's happening. Or he would, he used to kill animals and just stuff like that. They were just, it was traumatic. It's like, I don't know why he would do it, but he would do it. And it would make me watch. Mm. And he didn't do it a lot, but it happened. And the religious stuff. Mm. Like after I reached puberty, my dad got really super weird. And it was time to teach me how to be a woman and what God wanted me to do as a wife. And it just, I think that's the thing that set me up for that rape, to be honest with you, because I said no a million times, you know, but at some point it was like, okay, this is what dad said to do. Just kind of lay there. Mm-hmm. Why my dad told me to lay there, I don't know, but he did. And yeah, and I, from that rape, I got pregnant. And our religion was very strict and very, I don't know what you want to call it. I just remember this girl, she got pregnant and she had to stand in front of the congregation. I think she was 16 years old, and she had to stand up and say, and like ask for forgiveness from the congregation because she got pregnant. And I remember that. And when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, oh no, I'm not doing that. And I turned to my girlfriend, the same one from sixth grade, and she took me to Planned Parenthood. And I didn't know I was pregnant. I was just like, I haven't gotten my period, so I don't know what's going on. And sorry if this is too much
information. No. You know what show you're on?
Yes, I know. So she took me to Planned Parenthood. I found out I was pregnant. For a minute, I was like, oh, that's really cool. There's a little baby, you know? But then I was like, oh shit, I have to, what do I do? No, I don't want, I can't have this. And the next day I woke up and I was really crampy. And so I called her and I was like, oh, wait, I'm crampy. And I called this and she's like, oh, I guess they were wrong. So I went with the, they were wrong story. But eventually I realized I'm having a miscarriage. And my only option, because in my mind, I had reached out to my girlfriend. I didn't know how to, like, I don't know how to, if I ask for help and you give me this help, I don't know how to say, no, I need more. So that I felt like, okay, I can't ask her anymore. So who do I ask now? Nobody. I'm not turning to my father. So yeah, I was like, I would have rather bled to death from a miscarriage and ask my father for help. I mean, that's how lonely and scared I was of my father. And I was like, there's no way, I'm not going to do this. And somehow, I guess my higher power was there, because
You made it.
I didn't. I'm surprised how much blood you can lose from that and not, but.
Wow.
Sorry, that's gross, but that's my.
It's the truth.
That's my, yeah.
Have you had to grapple a lot with, or had challenges with, like, cultivating a relationship with a higher power, or what's resentment
I have,
going on there?
I have. I certainly have. But I can't deny that there have been my times of need where there was a presence with me telling me I was going to be okay. And it started when I was little. I would just cry and cry and cry. And then all of a sudden it would feel like somebody was with me. And I would almost hear the words, "You're going to be okay." And then I would, you know, I was letting it all out and I was going to be okay. Got me through.
Okay. Three things I like about yourself.
I am compassionate. I like to help people. If I think I can trust you, I'm very loyal. And I don't know that I'm funny, but I like my sense of humor. And I can take a joke.
You gotta be able to take a joke around here in this shit show.
That's right, Jack.
No thin skinnies. Okay, hope or dream for the future.
Well, I definitely want to get through this and become like a sponsor or, you know, a mentor to somebody. I was also thinking like a dream. I think it would be fun to kind of open, I'll call it a bar, but we can't drink there. We don't have alcohol there, but we have everything else that a bar has. You know, everybody wants to go and have fun. You want to have music and be with your friends. And it's just, you don't have alcohol there. And maybe there's like rooms off to the side and you can have your 12-step meetings there. And then you come in and because I think sometimes when you're at these 12-step meetings, it's like, oh no, I don't want to go home.
Yeah.
And it would be really fun if you could just go over and listen to some music and hang out.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like a clubhouse, but like more shit going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I love it. Well, any final words, anything else you want to say?
I think I already said it, but it's, yeah, we're all afraid of being abandoned. Like it like feels like getting cut with a knife, but we're grown-ups now, you know, and if they walk away, you're not a little kid anymore and you can do something for yourself, whatever it is, do it. You're worth it.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's because of you, I have made, you know, you are a puzzle piece for sure. And I appreciate you.